You're listening to Discography Discussion, episode 148, Kidney Thieves, hosted by Dan Terry.
I'm an opinionated, overweight person, and that's how I roll.
And Joseph Wren, all night long, depending on who's asking. Presented by DiscussMetal.com. And if you woke up this morning with a bad hangover and your kidneys were missing again, then you are ready for this episode of Discography Discussion. I am Joe. That is Dan.
Let's just hope you woke up in a tub of ice cubes.
Has anybody ever thought about how long it would take to actually fill the tub with ice?
It would take a long time, and I would, like, I'm the kind of guy, and I, don't get me wrong, I've never been drugged down in a hotel room. So I don't know entirely whether or not I would wake up instantly as soon as ice touched my flesh. Maybe I'd have to be, like, really drugged. I mean, I guess I would have to be super drugged if I didn't wake up when they were cutting out the kidney. I don't know. I'm not entirely certain if this situation has ever happened. I mean, maybe it's happened once in real life, but I think this is mostly urban legend, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what all the TV shows on ABC 30 told me back in the 90s.
Gotcha.
Did you hear the story about the time this happened to a tourist somewhere in the eastern countries of Europe?
A tourist named Joe.
Not again.
Yes.
I gotta go home and write a song about this.
Well, yeah,
you know, so, dude, I really think we should change the words from kidney. It's just not working for me. But I did have another alternative for you. Oh, apparently that thing works for me, too.
I think that's the very first time Joe's bleep has ever bleeped Joe.
Inception confirmed. By the way, the top stays spinning.
I haven't seen that movie in so long. Like, people are always like, yeah, check out Inception. And I was like, yeah, it was really good. And I remember, like, not hating it, but I don't remember anything about it.
It's another one of those it-doesn't-go-anywhere movies, and then the end of it is supposed to be you decide.
Gotcha.
So it's Blade Runner, but they're asleep.
Well, you know what's really, really cool about the band Kidney Thieves?
Yes. The music, the vocals, the guitars, the beats, everything. It might be a perfect industrial rock band.
You think so? Perfect, huh?
I think that everything they've put out is enjoyable. It's what I want to hear when I listen to industrial rock. They're not the best, but this is the kind of industrial rock I wish I had the patience to create. I just don't have that much time to manipulate beats.
Well, they're definitely consistent. I will give them that.
Extremely consistent.
It's actually really hard for me because there's not a whole lot, like when we're going through these albums, there's not a whole lot for me to nitpick at, and there's not a lot of compare and contrast because whenever you're this consistent, it's kind of hard to find things that are, you know, notably different than the previous releases or songs.
Kidney Thieves is one of those bands that every time I heard them, it's kind of like garbage. You know the band, and you tell yourself that you're going to go home and look it up, or I'm going to go to Best Buy back in the day and buy one of the records, and then you just never do it. The constant reminder for me that I really love Kidney Thieves is the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, because every time I listen to it, Kidney Thieves closes that record.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what's weird about it, is that I feel like that soundtrack sets you up for an experience you're not going to necessarily get with Kidney Thieves. I don't necessarily think that their hit song, Before I'm Dead, really represents what you're getting from the band. I mean, there are songs like that, but we'll get into it.
Well, before we confess to the taxicab messiah, I want to take this time to say thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. If you are not a subscriber, then you can find everything Discography Discussion at DiscussMetal.com. We're on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. So if you have an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, you have no excuse. Ask it to play the latest episode of the Discography Discussion podcast, and it will. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Be sure to like, favorite, and subscribe. It really helps us out. It lets us know you're listening. And now Dan is going to tell us all about 5-star reviews.
We love 5-star reviews here on Discography Discussion. We like them because they make me feel good. They make Joe feel good. They make Jeff feel good, wherever the hell he is.
Hey, y'all.
But I will tell you this. One of the best things you can do for our podcast, if you really want to help us out, because we're best friends, right? If you want to help us out, share the episode. Share them on Facebook. Share them on Twitter. Share them on Instagram. Share them wherever you get the notification that we have a new episode. We appreciate it very much. I appreciate the people that have shared it. And I very much appreciate all of the people who review the show, subscribe to the show, and tell their friends about the show. Over on Discord, in reference to the Nemic episode, Darren M. says, What a great choice for Industrial December. Good job, guys. I remember buying one of Nemec's first albums, The Audio Injected Soul, and was thinking it was a great album. I originally came across them on the song Death Box on a Nuclear Blast music video DVD. Very cool. Also in Discord, in reference to our 16-volt episode, Great Beard of Wisdom says, "Oh man, 16-volt. I was thinking of suggesting these guys, but I figured you'd already have it all planned out. They're one of my favorite industrial bands. I found them thanks to the PS2 game Primal, as they did the soundtrack." Thank you for that comment, and first of all, never just assume that we have it all planned out. If you have a suggestion of a band you want us to talk about, absolutely let us know. And those comments were on our Discord server, which you can join, and there will be a link in our show notes that will let you join Discord, and I'll go over that again at the end of the episode.
So, Dan, tell me about Kidney Thieves.
Kidney Thieves is kind of hard to nail down. They're considered an industrial rock band, and I wouldn't say that's too far off the mark. They play rock. They're not an industrial metal band, so they're not super brutal, which puts them a little bit out of my comfort zone. But they do have guitars, chunky guitars. They have a really awesome buzzsaw tone on their guitars, and their vocalist is very smooth, but also has kind of an attitude, almost a little gothy in places, especially on the first album.
Got that garbage sound with the tonalities of Alanis Morissette when she's not letting her accent show.
It's funny that you say Alanis Morissette, because that is what I was trying to figure out. I was asking my wife embarrassingly. I was like, who sang those songs in the 90s? You know, what? They're all over the place. Like, something about, like, rain and weddings. And she's like, Alanis Morissette. And I was like, yep, that's it. Can't believe I was that out of touch. But there is definitely a little bit of a similarity vocally. But I definitely prefer this band over anything Alanis Morissette put out.
Alanis is one of the mid-90s girls can rock too artists, which is unfair to her because I've seen her live. She actually plays guitar. She can pull off a two-hour show. But there was this time in the mid-90s where we all needed to be reminded that Joan Jett was not the only female rocker there was.
Right.
We also had Garbage and Sonic Youth. Sonic Youth more from the early 90s. But Kidney Thieves put out Trickster in 1998. I admit today, I don't have it. I've got Trickster Process, which is the re-release. Not my favorite record. It kind of has the I wish I was Nine Inch Nails thing going on, but I think most industrial type bands are guilty of that at some point, because if you're going to model your sound after something that you like, if you're listening to industrial, that was the sound.
See, I didn't get much of a Nine Inch Nails vibe off of it, other than the fact that it is industrial rock. But this was kind of rough for me because they've got, I don't know, like they start off with Taxicab Messiah, which is kind of a more upbeat song. It has that heavy guitar. It has kind of the attitude vocals. It creates a mood. And then S&M, A Love Song, kind of goes into that as well. But like as the record progresses, it starts to slow down. And before you know it, I thought that I was listening to Portishead and wasn't listening to Kidney Thieves anymore. And not that I have any problem with Portishead. I mean, I love their stuff, but I feel like this record was a little bit more directionless. Like they didn't really know what kind of mood they were trying to set. You know, like when we talked about 16 Volt a couple weeks ago, we talked about how their earlier albums were, you know, a little bit more dark and goth. This seems like it wants to be that, but it just isn't. It's almost too alternative rock to really evoke a feeling of darkness. So they try to do that by slowing everything down, but then you just end up sounding like a totally different band. And I think they had a lot of trouble trying to balance the softer, more introspective songs with the heavier, you know, more like ass-kicking songs.
Almost like the principal songwriters were used to writing straight rock, but then actively tried to convert it to industrial.
Right, because that was the cool thing.
It's not easy to do. If you don't have the mindset for it, it's very difficult to convert songs from one style to another. That doesn't mean it's impossible. A lot of artists do it. Most of your favorite pop songs were written by 70s guys that have been listening to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young for 40 years. And when it started off, it sounded like a straight rock song. Figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I didn't really have a problem with it, and that's something I'm going to say about all of these albums, is that, like, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm being extremely nitpicky even talking about the balancing, because I like the sound, I like the singer's voice, I like the guitar tone, as I said. I like the way they put their songs together. They don't have a lot of earworms, but they'll have at least one or two on each album.
So par for the late 90s. It's got another song that could be a single, and it's got, well, it's unfair to say filler. I don't think a record that you enjoy listening to contains filler. That's just a good record.
There's some filler.
It's the late 90s, dude.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was going to say, there is some filler, but it's okay. I mean, it's not the worst album I've heard in my life. It's not the best, but it's not terrible. Like, I have no issue with this record at all. It's just not my thing. I think this band's been difficult for me because I'm not really into industrial music that much. I like industrial metal bands, which this was sold to me as. So I'm trying hard to switch gears and really appreciate it for what it is versus what I'm expecting it to be.
My 2019 ears really want this to be louder than it is. It doesn't really have dynamics, but it's not overblown in the sonic department.
No, this is pre-loudness wars, right?
Just before it.
Although this might have benefited a little bit from it. So their second album, Zero Space.
You don't have to tell me twice.
this is a huge step up. I think their song Before I'm Dead is probably the first song anybody ever heard by this band.
I would agree 100%.
As that was on the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, famously. And yeah, I mean, what else is there to say about that song? It's kind of an ass kicker. It's dark. It's dark. It's heavy. Almost sounds like a new metal band, which is what everybody was on that soundtrack. So this was kind of hard, you know, because, again, it sets you up for an experience that you're not really going to get with this band. But obviously without this single, they wouldn't have ever gotten as far as they did.
The audience for Kidney Thieves has always been the underground kids that are leaning towards the mainstream. They don't strike me the same way that, say, Eurythmics does. When I listen to Eurythmics, I really do believe that it's two people making the music. This sounds like one person making the music and somebody else contributing lyrics to it. It just, the theme, the tone doesn't sound like it's being created fluidly. It sounds like it's being constructed. I like it. I think Zero Space is their best record.
Yeah.
It's their definitive sound. The sonic bits that needed to be turned up in the last record are turned up. It sounds like a second effort. We paid more money for a producer this time to master the record and get it up to radio spec. The songs flow together, but listen to the background. It has all the little sound effects and the sweeps and the waves and the phasing that really good industrial records and even subpar electronic records have. It's one of the things you look for when you're listening to this kind of album. I want to hear the extra stuff that is hiding in the background. It's like listening for the Wilhelm scream in your favorite movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely got all those elements. And I agree with you. This is probably their best album, in my opinion. Just because it's a little bit heavier. It's a little bit more full of itself.
It's
in the sense
dark.
That, yeah, it's dark. It's more confident. Full of itself wasn't a nice way to put it, because I don't think it's pretentious, but I do think that it is very, it's much more confident. The songwriting is more confident, and they kind of just go for the throat more. My favorite track on this record is Black Bullet, which I think really kind of encompasses this record. They don't slow it down too much on this album. But yeah, if you listen to that, just that shitty crunch at the beginning of Black Bullet. Like, I just think that this album is a better realization of the band's sound than the first, which was a little bit more meandering. And this album has a lot more attitude with the vocals and the way they're presented, than whereas the previous album was more just kind of like alt rock kind of. this kind of rides the line between industrial rock and nu metal.
It's just thick enough to stand on stage with the Powerman 5000s, the Primer 55s, Deftones, who had their own sound and their own atmosphere. If Kidney Thieves was at the show, I'm still into it. And actually, Primer 55 is a good example of what this would have sounded like on stage, because Primer had fake drums on every release, but the band played live. The musicians live probably thicken this out more than what we're getting here.
Yeah, that's possible. This band was a lot heavier live. If I had seen them live, I probably would have loved it and then bought this and been like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's still cool, I guess. But yeah, I think this is a lot thicker and definitely could put them on like a Family Values, you know, situation.
2002, Dan called. He said, listen to Zayo. It's louder than this.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Well, we've reached the part of the show where we make the super fans unhappy because we have to skip a few EPs and a couple re-releases.
Oh, yeah. We're skipping like half their shit because there's an 8-year gap between Zero Space and Trypto Fanatic, and that sucks.
I didn't know Kidney Thieves was still around. 2010, this surprised me.
They'd basically broken up after Zero Space, or went on a hiatus. Basically they were around in 2004, and that's whenever they re-released the first album, is Trickster Process. But after they released that, the singer went off and did an indie band, and then their guitar, well, I guess it's hard because there's only like two listed members, which is Freed, there's singer, and then there's Bruce, who I guess plays the instruments or does the other half of the instruments. Anyway, they basically broke apart. The two brains behind Kidney Thieves broke apart into a band called Shock Nina, whatever her indie project was. I was never able to track it down. They were basically gone doing other projects, and then it wasn't until like 2007 that they basically started writing Kidney Thieves stuff again, and it just took them until 2010 to put out the next album. That's got to be hard too, because that's like starting over, right?
I don't know if it's like starting over. I think these types of bands, the atmosphere, the story to the observer turns into your friends and their rocky relationship. You know, everybody kicks it back to Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. Like, when they're together, oh, they make great stuff. Oh, but they're not together. It's okay. You know, give it a few years. They'll get back together and write some new songs, which is basically true, even though Fleetwood Mac is one of the oddball examples of bands staying together throughout the years. Yeah. I'm not going to get into that now, but Eurythmics is the example I think of.
Sure.
Because it's not just two people making the music. It's two people doing everything in all the promotional materials, in the videos. It literally is two people doing everything, and then they play live, and there's a whole full-size backing band with backup singers and multiple drummers and keyboardists. So you need a whole lot of people to back you up and deliver your sound, but it's always just those two.
Right.
So when those two are not together, it's not the Eurythmics. I think Kidney Thieves is just another example of that, where the two people that make this music, when they're not making it, Kidney Thieves is not making music. And then somebody throws something together and says, hey, I got something. If you want to get together and do something, we will. To me, it sounds like another example of that, which, that's fine. It's not just a guy-girl thing. It's a band thing. Trust me.
Well, this record, though, is really interesting to me because it's out 8 years after they put out their last new material. Let me rephrase that. Since they put out their last full-length album, because I know that there was other stuff in between there. But anyway, for being 8 years later, this is amazingly consistent with their previous record.
I love how 2000s this sounds. I love how it still sounds like a record made before you could go buy a $500 laptop and a $200 piece of software, download a whole bunch of loops for free, and be on the radio tomorrow. I like that it sounds that way. We talked about it with Static X. It sounds like a 90s record. This one sounds like an early 2000s record. I love it. This is the opposite of what we heard in 2010. This wasn't hardcore metalcore. It wasn't degent.
Aww.
It wasn't bass drops. It was something that you grew
up
with. Because it wasn't, Dan. Not everything can be Zayo. 2003, Dan called. He said, yes, it can.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm officially retiring that joke until, you know, until it comes up again. So, oh, man. Okay. I believe that this could have come out in 98. Obviously, it sounds better than a record that would have come out in 98 would sound, because it is 2010, right? But it definitely sounds like a 90s record, and that's what I like about it. It's if you haven't picked up from this Industrial December, me and Joe love 90s shit, like, a lot. And this is no exception, even though it's exactly what you want if you're a fan of Kidney Thieves and you've just been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for them to put out a new album. And then they put it out and they're still the same band. It's still the same intensity. But I think that it is better than it had been. With Trypto Fanatic, I think it suffers a little bit from, like, being rusty. But I feel like, they are moving forward with kind of faster songs, a little bit more accessibility in their sound.
They worked out the kinks going through the recording process. I agree with you. It sounds like this is the first batch of riffs we've had in a while, but it doesn't sound as green as the first album does. It sounds like, okay, we can still do this. Let's just pick it up where we left off and see what we come up with.
Totally. I think one of the things about this record, too, is that I feel like her singing has improved over the last 8 years. She's not quite a pop singer, but she doesn't sound like a 90s singer as much anymore. Like, I don't know. I feel like vocally it's a lot stronger. I wish that there was a little bit more to say about it, but again, like we said, this band is amazingly consistent, and so, like, there's not, like, suddenly, like, some track that's totally out of left field on here. And spoilers, 6 years later, we're not going to feel any differently.
2016, The Mend.
The Mend.
Did you know the Kidney Thieves put out a new album in 2016?
No, I did not.
I didn't.
I didn't either. And it's fine, because it's awesome.
I was so happy to listen to this. We didn't put Kidney Thieves on the calendar after Static X on purpose.
No, we didn't.
But when it happened that way, we talked about the death metal disco on the last episode. I was so happy the first time I listened to this record and it opens with Fist Up.
Yeah.
Because it was immediately, there's the death metal disco. I thought I was done with that now that Static X is done. No, I'm not done with it yet. We're going to dance some more, dude.
That's interesting. Well, it's funny, too, because this album, yeah, is much more danceable. Like, I can feel that, even though I'm not a guy that dances. But no, I just don't know. I love that this record sounds a little bit more fun than their previous records had. Like, this is just a little bit more like, I almost feel like I would actually hear this at a club.
You'd think the DJ was just mixing this up, but no, it's just the record, guys.
It's just the record. Yeah, it's fine. Totally fine.
I like it. It's a little bit lower. It's a little bit dirgier. It's sloppy, not necessarily on purpose. And it still sounds like the early 2000s, which is appealing to me for this kind of music. If you're going to sound like a specific era or a specific decade, nu metal had that early 2000s, late 90s. Industrial had the 90s. It still sounds consistent with their previous releases. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is cool. And I think, too, that there's a little bit of a boost in the modernness. Is modernness a word?
We just call that modern, dude.
Okay, well, it's a little bit more modern than the previous releases, which makes sense because it's the most recent release. But that's not the point that I'm trying to make. It's just that they had, you know, in 2010, they sounded like they were in the 90s. In 2002, they sounded like they were in the 90s still. This is kind of the first album that I've heard by Kidney Thieves that is more modern overall without, like, abandoning their roots. I know it sounds like a contradiction, and it probably is, but basically what I'm trying to say is it sounds more new. It sounds like something that people would like now. You wouldn't necessarily have to be an alternative rock fan from the 90s to appreciate this.
If you're going to throw back and play a style...
Circle back?
...that sounds like an era gone by, then you have to make your best effort to sound like that. Movies are doing that now, too. The big criticism is, okay, guys, the 80s nostalgia was good, but now we're getting tired of it. I'm still not tired of it. I'm not even an 80s kid. but there is a tone to films that go over the top to display a bygone era, but have better cameras.
Yeah.
So I think the only criticism I have for this record is it could sound better than it does, but what is better? Is better vinyl with dynamics and the sound is not overblown, or is better the modern metal that's overcompressed, overcomputerized? It's industrial music. The robots have already won. So what kind of robots do you want to listen to? Well, I like the fact that Kidney Thieves, almost perfect industrial rock, still sound like the Kidney Thieves. That's awesome to me.
Yeah, no, it's cool. They're very consistent. I wish there was something more that I could say about it. If I had to give a final thought, I would definitely say that this is a great, consistent band. Check them out if you're into industrial, but it's just not necessarily for me.
This week is a short one. They've only got 4 records. I think the Kidney Thieves are one of the bands that play this style very well. If you're a throwback fan, or if you love this idea of garbage meets Nine Inch Nails, then Kidney Thieves is exactly what you should be listening to. They've got the melody, they've got the rock, they got the chainsaw guitars, they have the beats, like I said in the beginning. Nothing about this puts me off and makes me want to turn it off. So I think you should be listening to Kidney Thieves. Dan, what's your album of the week?
My album of the week is an old one. It's The Frailty of Words by Hope's Fall, because it has finally been added to streaming services after all these years. And I do have a disc of it, but I don't want to mess up the disc because I couldn't listen to it any other way. But now I can stream it. So thanks, Hope's Fall.
For me, it's the Queen of the Damned soundtrack. It's got a lot of good new metal and some really good songs by Korn that were written by John Davis and feature other singers. I know what I said.
That's true.
Take us out, DFT.
Have you ever been listening to this show and thought, why don't they talk about the bands that I like? Why has it always got to be about the bands Dan likes? Well, if that were true, then I would just love every band we talk about, which, as we know, I do not. Listener suggestions are part of our process for creating new episodes. If you want to reach out and tell us what bands you want us to talk about, there's a variety of ways you can do so. You can reach out to us on Facebook on facebook.com/discography discussion. You can reach out to us on Twitter at @discussmetal. You can send us an email at danandjoshow@gmail.com. You can join our Discord server. There's a link in the show notes. You can click on it and it will add you to the Discord server.
And on that note, this has been episode 148 of Discography Discussion. Thank you for listening. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Subscribe to our podcast everywhere you listen to podcasts, including Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. Visit DiscussMetal.com for all things Discography Discussion. And please, send questions and comments to DanAndJoeShow@gmail.com. If you are not a patron, you can become one at patreon.com/discussmetal. We have some sweet perks.